couple of these little things I want to share with you, and then we'll get right into the Word. How's that? That's it. One Sunday in a Midwest city, a young child was acting up during the morning worship hour. The parents did their best to maintain some sense of order in the pew, but were losing the battle. Finally, the father picked the little fella up and walked sternly up the aisle on his way out. And just before reaching the safety of the foyer, the little one turned around and called loudly to the congregation, "Pray for me, pray for me." Oh, my goodness. All right, here's a four-year-old saying the Lord's Prayer, praying it. And one particular four-year-old was praying the Lord's Prayer. And here's what he said: "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." That's the truth, isn't it? Forgive those who put trash in our baskets. Oh, my God. We need that on our refrigerators, don't we? Amen. A little boy was overheard praying, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like it is." Or like I am. All right, one more. A Sunday school teacher asked her little children as they were on the way to church service, "And why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" And one bright little girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." Oh, help us, Lord. All right. So, Rachel, you wake Junior up back there, okay? When he's okay. All right, we're back in Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm telling you, it gets exciting to get into the Word. Again, Wednesday night was so awesome, Brandon. Thank you. That was wonderful. Just an atmosphere and everybody participate. Thank y'all too for coming. All of our guests, we welcome you today. Not really, they're part of their family. So Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Everybody say all.
All.
All. Amen. So that's where we're going to camp out today and or land on. How about the shield of faith today? Okay.
Amen.
We've been looking at the various parts of what Paul has described as the armor of God. And we see how he has in his letter here to the believers at Ephesus, they're called the Ephesians, he encouraged them to use the tools that God has given them to stand their ground against the enemy. And of course, we are also to take this letter to heart today for ourselves, because we also have an enemy called the devil. How many know that? Amen. Remember, he was chained right next to the soldier there in the prison where he wrote some of his letters called the prison epistles. And so he was looking at this soldier as he would write this letter. So he looked up at the helmet of salvation then he saw is one way Paul described the fact that Jesus has and will save us from certain destruction. How many know we were all doing life on our own without God at one time, and we were headed the wrong way headed for the wrong finish line. We were going the wrong way, Brother Tony, which would have ended badly, being separated from God forever in a place called hell, a place of eternal torment and suffering and loneliness and darkness. You've got to know it's a place that's total opposite of heaven. Heaven is full of light. Hell will be dark. You'll hear the screams of others, but you won't be able to see anyone because it's going to be dark. And that was not God's plan for us. He offered us, and He still does, one alternative, that being His grace and His forgiveness, and He saved us from the trap of the enemy of our souls. Thank you, Lord. We know the natural helmet protected the head of the soldier from injury. And our spiritual armor, our helmet of salvation, then protects our mind or our thoughts process, we could say. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us and it stops the enemies. The belt of truth then was first given when they responded to the good news about Jesus, acknowledging the fact that every human needs God and needs His forgiveness and needs just everything that Jesus has provided then through His death. The belt had everything in place. It held everything in place. It also protected the loins. There was a part off of the belt that went down and covered the loins of the soldier. Why is that? It was that represented the reproductive area. And how many know the enemy knows right where to go at us? He does not want us reproducing ourselves, Brandon. He doesn't want us sharing with the truth with others and telling them. So in the natural, there was protection there, and God also protects us in that. Truth is not an invention of man, but it is a reality from God Himself. And then there was the breastplate of righteousness, which also imparted when they was also imparted when they confessed Jesus as Lord, when we do, and believe in our hearts that He was raised from the dead, or He arose from the dead. They were brought into right standing with God because they put their entire trust in Him. Amen. So the breastplate covered or protected the center, the very center of your being. The natural breastplate did. That's where your lungs and your heart is. And so we know the enemy wants to kill, as Brandon said, steal, kill, and destroy our hearts, the center of our very being. He wants to get that. The sandals of peace came when they made peace with God by calling on the Lord in repentance. Having peace with God, we saw this last Sunday, having peace with God brings the peace of God into our hearts and lives, helping us be peacemakers as Jesus said we should be. His peace gives us then, watch this, traction for action as we stand then against the enemies. And we can stand with peace. We can stand in our peace. This morning, for just a few minutes, I'd like to look at verse 16 of Ephesians 6, which introduces to us the shield of faith. Understand, let me give you a little bit of history. In the days of Roman warfare, the flaming arrow was a dreaded weapon. This arrow had a heavy iron tip, which was dipped down into pitch, and it was set on fire. Even the speed of the arrow in the air would not extinguish the flame. And so it became in itself a deadly flaming missile. And these arrows would cause panic within the opposing ranks, especially when they lodged in a shield, causing the shield to burn. And it would so happen if there was a soldier that was frightened, he might throw down his burning shield, leaving himself and those around him unprotected from arrows and spears. You can imagine then the resulting chaos. And such a deadly weapon then needed a solid defense, which is where the shield comes in. This big shield, you can Google it, the Roman soldiers' armor. you'll see the big shield stood 4 foot high. It was made of 3 layers of wood with linen sandwiched in between each of those layers. It also had an outward layer of leather or animal hide. And to hold it all together, then a bronze strip was wrapped around the entire edge of the shield. If it was hit by a flaming arrow, then this shield would still burn. So before they went into battle, the soldiers would soak the shields in water. The wet linen and the leather would stop then the shield from igniting, even when there was a flaming arrow embedded into it. Sometimes now we lose the meaning of things through overuse. When something becomes a catchword, it can lose meaning. And so this morning, for the sake of understanding this, I would like to interchange words so as to get a clearer picture of the subject. As we think about the shield of faith, I want to put in the word trust and see it as a shield of trust. When you go and look at all the definitions and all the meanings of the faith in this particular scripture, you'll find the word trust. So then, what is then this shield of trust or this shield of faith? Soldiers trusted that these shields would extinguish and stop then the flaming arrows that would come at them. But Paul, of course, we know is writing about something spiritual here. What does it mean to be shielded or protected then by faith or by trust? I love Psalm 91 and 4. It says, God's truth or faithfulness will be your shield. If we have faith in God's faithfulness, guess what? Then we will stand strong in the battle. We're not to have faith in our own flesh. How many know your flesh is going to let you down? We're not to have faith in our own strength, but we are to have faith in God. And it's through His strength that we can do. If we are actively then trusting God's trustworthiness, the enemy will not find an opening in our lives to shoot his flaming arrows. Understand with me that these arrows then can represent in our lives any spiritual attack or struggle brought on by the forces of evil around us. So here is the main thought of my message, today's message. The more we trust God to sustain us, the more protection we will have against the enemy of our souls. It's calling on His name, just like we sung this morning, depending upon Him to show us what we need to do. He may tell you, no, you need to stay home today for whatever reason. Just listen to that still small voice. The greater the trust, the greater our shield against the attacks of the enemy. So let's look this morning for just a few more moments. Let's look at some areas of trust that will help us beef up our defense against the flaming arrows that are launched by the dark forces of Satan's kingdom that come almost on a daily basis. How about the very first one? Trusting God in the face of condemnation. Trusting God in the face of condemnation. Sadly, you have to know that there are those sweet folks with the gift of accusation that also imagine themselves as having the gift of discernment into the motives of others. Isn't it amazing how one often credits themselves with good intentions when they fail? Watch this. Oh, but Pastor, I did not mean to hurt anyone when I did that. However, when somebody else does something wrong, they assume they planned the whole thing out and were hoping for the very worst for us. So when we accuse someone of something, we often assume that we know why they did what they did. We presume to have some special insight into their heart and into their situation. Listen to me closely. Listen, God can and may give us such information, but it's not to be used in making accusations against others. Can you say amen? Let me encourage you. This is what we are to do. What are we to do? Pray about it. Pray for that person first. Amen? Because you see, there is already one who accuses us, and he'd just love to sign us up as an apprentice accuser. The enemy loves then to troll us, just like those folks do online and social media. Have you ever heard of the trolls on social media? They are the people who deliberately provoke others, and they do it by saying inflammatory and offensive things. And they post these things on social media for others to read. They live to make people upset and angry. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. And it shows us just how the enemy does then in our lives. And here's what John wrote, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which," watch this, "which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Another way to look at this is that they trusted God, watch this, with their sense of self-value and worth in the face of the onslaught of accusations against them. They stood and they trusted God, knowing who they were in Christ. They trusted not in their own goodness, but in the work that Jesus had already done on the cross, dying to place them in right standing with God. And he does the same for us. And that was the word of their testimony. And it was this: look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done for my family. Listen, he forgave me. He delivered me. I am not a lost cause, Brandon. Devil, I am not a failure. Thanks be to Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and what he did when he died in my place. Listen, we can stand against the accusations of the enemy. You have to know those fiery darts then of accusation are intended. They are intended to cause pain and stress and doubt and worry and fear. Watch this. They are meant to breed insecurity and suspicion and condemnation and just outright plain weaken our faith. Ultimately, when we lose our faith, there's something that happens. We stop believing God when that happens. And that's what the devil wants. And we start believing the lies of the enemy. These flaming arrows then can cause a person, watch this, to begin doubting and doubting his word or doubting God's heart or even doubting God's power. We can get up in the morning feeling great. And guess what? Before the day is up, those flaming arrows of strife, they can strike fear in our hearts through, guess what? Through just a medical diagnosis given to us, and it'll cause us to lose our focus all of a sudden. That's what the enemy wants to do. And that is why we must daily keep the shield of faith right in front of us. Watch this, soaked with the water of God's word and the water of his spirit, to Brother Tony. Woo, I could shout about that one right there. Here. Woo! Okay, all right. All right. All right. I can't. I'm not like Brother Springer. I can't jump the pew just yet. So you just have to wait, okay? All right. Here are a few reminders from the Bible to soak your shield with when the flaming arrows of condemnation come your way. Watch this. I have four quick scriptures. These are reminders from the Bible to soak your shield with when the flaming arrows of condemnation come your way. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things, everybody say, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Remind the enemy of who you are and to who you belong to. Amen. All right, here's the next one. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in me or in you will perform it. In other words, He's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hebrews 10:14. By one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. He's already completed the work that He's doing in you on a daily basis. I thank God for His Word that we can apply it then to our lives. Listen now, you need to keep the shield with you as you go about your day. So not only are we to trust God in the face of condemnation, but how about this one, number two, trusting God in the face of temptation. It is no surprise that we have an enemy who uses this very tactic against us at some of the worst possible times. Sometimes the temptation comes in the form of taking the easy way out. Like this, for example. Oh, just go ahead, Brother Tony. Tell a small lie. It will get you out of a whole world of trouble. How many know that's a lie in itself? Amen. And guess what? Yes, he'll do that. Watch this one. Oh, just take that as a partial payment to yourself. They don't need it and they won't miss it. And guess what? You deserve it. Oh, it is. All right, here's another one. Oh, people will think better of you if you wear this brand of clothes. Or that brand of shoes, or drive that particular car or truck. And who cares about the price? Just go ahead and do it. Oh, temptation. The devil knows just how to do it. Guess what? The first lie we find in the Bible is spoken in the Garden of Eden through the serpent. What did he tell Adam and Eve? Oh, you won't really die. God is holding out on you, Brandon. He doesn't really care about you. He's just trying to keep the best of everything for himself. Listen now, are we willing then to trust God and His way of doing things, or do we think we know better than He does? Sadly, some folks do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, here goes, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So not only then, are we to trust God in the face of condemnation and trust Him in the face of temptation? How about this one? Number three, holding that shield up by trusting God in the face of adversity. How many know the winds of adversity seem to blow our way. For some, you think it would be more, it's blowing your way more than anybody else. You want to shut it off. For some reason, it just don't shut off. When things just don't go the way that I think they should go, meaning through suffering or tragedy or chaos, let me ask you, what happens then to my trust level? What happens with my trust level? The kind of faith that serves as a shield to us, listen, is the kind that recognizes then God's character and His nature and still believes that He will never leave us or forsake us, just as He promised. You've got to know without a doubt God cares about you. He cares about every little thing in our lives. He cares how much hair you have and how little you have. It doesn't take Him long to count my hair. How's that? He knows every hair on your head. And one way God fills that promise, watch this now, is through other members of His family called the church, who He places in our lives. And I'm so glad that God has placed each of you in my life. Amen. Understand with me, these 4-foot-high shields were built for more than just individual use. They were designed to lock together to form a wall of defense. Soldiers could also raise several of them above this wall of shields and put them at an angle and be protected then from the flurry of arrows that would come from an enemy who was shooting from high ground or higher ground or arching their arrows so they would come down on top of them. Today, we need to remember and we need to realize that God gave us a family so we could help one another and interlock then our faith through each other's encouragement and support. I don't mean to burst anybody's balloon, but you were not designed to be a one-man army. There are no Rambos in God's army. You were prepared to be a part of a team where we all work together. When one member suffers, guess what? We're all hurting. We're all suffering. When one member rejoices, we're all going to rejoice together. And this is so important then to remember, especially when we face trouble and grief in this life. We can trust God and we can also lean on one another. Amen. All right. As I bring it to a close, how is your faith shield doing today? Just examine yourself a moment. Is it stopping then the flaming arrows of condemnation and temptation or accusation? Because guess what? Those things are going to come our way. And we got to be prepared. Maybe your shield seems a little dry today. Remember, soldiers soaked these shields before battle so they would quench the fiery arrows when they hit and they would not catch fire, where they couldn't stay aflame very long. We can also, again, remember we can soak in God's Word and we can soak in His presence. Amen. We can, let me encourage you, just like someone is saying, Brother Tony or Brother Brandon, I don't remember, we can turn that praise music on when you get up in the morning. Or you can put God's Word on, declaring God's Word. My puppy dogs, they can quote it by, they can quote it. Because they hear it every morning, I'm telling you. The words of declaration and uplifting. And then when you get in your car, put some praise music on. Turn the Fox News off. Put praise music on. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. The more we spend time with Him, watch this, the stronger our faith will be. And the more we're going to trust in Him. So if your faith seems a little weak today and you'd like more trust in your life or stronger faith in God, then guess what? We are here to pray for you. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, put us some music on or something here. We need something going. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this body of people. I just praise you, Lord. I just thank you for your word that we can stand upon today. And Lord, those that need you, Lord, I just ask you to reach out and touch them today. Touch their hearts. You see everything going in our lives, Lord. So Lord, I just thank you today that we can stand in the midst of adversity. I praise you. I thank you for this body of people, Lord. And I just speak blessings over them. I speak strength over them as we go from this house today, Lord. I just thank you for what you're doing in our lives, what you have done, and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you. If you need anything, I'm right here to pray for you. God bless you. There is bread.